8, which is the small game and hunting restrictions. This is also a briefing and public hearing. And, Brian, make your way.
No trouble. I'll let you go ahead and do it. I see it now. I have my glasses on. Okay, this presentation is on our small game seasons and also two other WACs to address changes to some hunting restrictions in WAC 232-12, 242, and 288. I first wanted to give a quick overview on trends that probably represent population changes with some of the more popular species. The first one is pheasant, and that shows the total harvest trend over time since about 1984. We've been using total harvest as our primary indicator of population status for upland birds for quite a while. And I spent some time looking for other surveys that were going on by other folks, not necessarily by the department. And I came across the Breeding Bird Survey, which is a nationwide survey, and the Breeding Bird Index there is depicted there in the graph on the right-hand side, similar trend, which pretty much verifies declining population of pheasant on the east side. Which, as we know, is driven primarily by habitat changes and habitat loss over time. Quail, a little bit more perplexing if you just look at total harvest. The Breeding Bird Survey seems to run in the opposite direction somewhat over about the same time period. One of the things we looked at was the quail harvest per hunter. Basically the hunter success rate, which is a closer match. So basically what that's telling us is that maybe looking at just one factor is perhaps not the best approach in trying to figure out what's going on in the population. Chukar, harvest trend is very similar to what you saw for pheasants. The Breeding Bird Survey routes in Washington, there aren't very many of them that detect chukar, but it's been somewhat of a flat line. So what we might see going on here is as declining interest in hunting pheasants, our most popular game bird, has gone down, that's driven the interest in hunting other upland game birds as well. Turkey, we had a rapid increase a decade or more ago, as we were very actively introducing turkey around the state. Populations grew, the hunter numbers responded, and hunter numbers began to decline about 2006. Probably has a little bit to do with a lower harvest levels, but that was also associated with when we changed our tag structure. For quite a while, your first turkey tag when you bought a small game license was free. That's about when hunter numbers began to decline. So we've been looking at that, maybe looking at some adjustments at some point. In the last 2 years, it's been lower. That's probably partly a function of hunter numbers, but those also weren't great production years for turkeys either. The Breeding Bird Survey tends to show an increasing population. Forest grouse, different situation. Harvest has been going down. Probably hard to associate this with pheasant hunting interest. Have yet to find another type of survey that's been going on that tells us much about the population status of grouse. Mourning doves. We did have a decline some time ago, but since then it's been a pretty level line. And what the graph you see here is actually a product of a new monitoring and population forecast strategy by the Fish and Wildlife Service. And this effort's been used to predict, it's been a pretty good predictor of observed population levels. And as a result of some of the changes we're going to be proposing today. So first I'll address changes to our small game rules. And this WAC includes hunting seasons for small game animals, upland birds, forest grouse, and wild turkey. Some minor changes, as always, some status quo calendar date adjustments. Another one, which we did get some comment on, is that our other youth upland bird seasons required that adult mentor accompany the youth, and our turkey season did not. We're proposing to make that consistent and require an adult mentor to help the kids get off to a safe, but also having a mentor helps them get a successful start as well. Some cleanup items. We've taken the turkey weapon restrictions out of this WAC and going to consolidate those with other weapon restrictions, and doing the same thing with band-tailed pigeon reporting requirements. And we'd be putting all of the migratory bird reporting requirements all in one place.
Chair Holtzman?
Sure.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Remove the turkey weapon restriction. What?
So we're just removing the language.
And what was the language?
Turkey hunters have been required to use either a shotgun with size 4 or smaller shot, or bow and arrow. And we're just taking that restriction and putting it in another place is what we're proposing to do. And at the same time, when we're doing that, we will also be proposing to add the use of crossbows for turkeys as a legal method of harvest.
And it's shot, number 4 shot?
Or smaller.
Okay.
The other thing I'd mention is that if you look at the changes we've made in the WAC, it may appear that we've changed the fall turkey general seasons, but we really haven't. We've just reformatted them. We've simplified them to try and make them easier to understand. The last 3-year package, they were a bit confusing. They were confusing in the pamphlet as well, and we'll be making changes there to help the public understand bag limits in particular. Forest grouse, this is the change that has probably garnered the most interest. There was a bag limit increase in 2009 from 3 birds per day to 4 birds. That raised some concern with hunters and some biologists. Many of those had cited spruce grouse as being a particular concern because of habitat changes. Due to major fires, and also predictions with future habitat changes due to climate change, potentially raising concerns for spruce grouse habitat. And I just mentioned that habitat and weather have always been considered the primary limiting factor for forest grouse. You would have hunting not as big a factor in limiting populations. So what we're proposing is somewhat of a middle ground between a straight 4 grouse bag limit and reducing the bag limit to 3, like many people have suggested we should do. What we're proposing to do is keep the total daily bag limit at 4, but allow the harvest of only one species that we define as game birds. We actually have 4 that can be hunted, but 2 of those are combined in our rules as blue grouse. So you'd be allowed to have 3 blue, 3 ruffed, or 3 spruce grouse in your bag limit for a day. Nick described some of these surveys that we did. This was one thing that we put forth in our alternative survey. You'll see that our proposal was actually the least favored. But if you look at the other change option and combine those two, you can see that the majority of the people who weighed in were suggesting that we needed to make some kind of change. It was interesting in all 3 categories, people could write in a comment as well. And in all 3 of those comment areas, categories, many of those suggested that we should just lower the bag limit to 3. But we still want to provide the opportunity for the avid forest grouse hunter to get out there, potentially take four birds, those that are willing to learn the difference between the species. Through the rulemaking process, we did hear similar concerns, some just concerned with having to learn to identify the species, some suggesting we just lower it to three, and others to keep it at four. Shifting gears to another species we don't hear too much about, we had a proposal come in from the region. We have a closure on hunting red fox in the Cascades, where the native Cascades red fox occurs, and these two GMUs had been included in that closure area, but there are no Cascade red fox there. And the population in this area is an introduced eastern variety of red fox. There's really no biological reason for us to maintain this closure, and this would allow us to provide some additional opportunity. And pheasant, the last three-year package, we had a consistent 12-week season for pheasant hunting in eastern Washington. That was different from the prior three-year season packages. And in those cases, the season always ended on the Martin Luther King holiday. A number of hunters over the course of those 3 years expressed their concerns to us about this, and we're proposing to move the end of the season back to the Martin Luther King holiday. In some years, that provides one additional day of opportunity. In other years, it provides eight additional days, depending on how the calendar falls. We don't believe this would affect population because it's really hen survival that drives breeding potential. And mourning dove, a fairly large change. Proposal adds 30 days to the hunting season and increases the bag limit from 10 to 15. And this follows new harvest guidelines developed at the national and flyway level that have determined that through study, banding surveys, that hunter harvest is really a small percentage of the total dove population, and that we can offer additional opportunity like this. The next change is in WAC 232-28-242, titled Hunting Restrictions, and this really came to us from the raccoon hunting community that likes to use dogs to pursue raccoons. There's been a restriction in place that prohibits either hound hunting of wild animals or night hunting of wild animals during the months of September, October, and November, anytime a modern firearm, deer, or elk season, including permit seasons, is open. They voiced their concern in that over time we've increased permit big game hunting opportunity, which in turn has limited the number of days during their season that they're allowed to hunt. Kind of a spin-off, the way we've proposed this, that it would also increase opportunity to hunt bobcat and coyote at night. You can't use dogs for those species, though. There have been some concerns raised with this proposal in that it could result in conflicts with deer and elk hunters as one of the primary ones. And the other one is the potential for abuse. Use this as an excuse to be out at night during deer and elk seasons. Our proposal, the way we've worded it, would maintain the restriction during modern firearm deer and elk general seasons, when the potential for those conflicts or even abuse would potentially be the greatest. And this rule was actually referenced in two different WACs, and we're proposing as a cleanup item to remove the wording from the hunting hours rule. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I saw a recommendation come through, this is on pheasant, too, and you've showed the declining pheasant population, and the recommendation that that came through that I saw was to shorten the pheasant season as an attempt to, you know, rebuild the
right.
pheasant population. And I know, I think you mentioned habitat is the big issue there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered maybe comment on whether restricting or shortening the season, pheasant season, would have any impact on the rebuilding of the pheasant population?
Okay, thank you. Our pheasant hunting strategy only allows the harvest of male pheasants, roosters, the breeding potential of the population is really based on the number of hens, because one rooster will mate with several, perhaps a dozen or more hens during the course of the breeding season. So the habitat issue related to hen survival is really the driver of the population, and as well as brood rearing conditions, where most of our efforts in pheasant management in eastern Washington are focused right now. What we're trying to do is create better habitat for insects, drives chick survival. They need that high protein source in order to survive. And so anyway, that's the direction we've taken is through habitat enhancement. We don't think that a season limitation would affect that very much.